Open your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 14. We'll begin reading in verse 21 down through verse 29. And all the people of Judah took Ezra, which was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amasa. And he built Elath and restored it to Judah after the king slept. And after that, the king slept with his father. It's just kind of ironic that it just gives a couple of verses there, and we're going to what it is. And his name is actually, we know him more as King Uzziah. Isaiah mentions him and a couple other prophets. But here in these two verses, it speaks about him, and then it talks about King Jeroboam. And then we'll look at verses in chapter 15, verses 1 through 7, which picks up Uzziah again. I know sometimes that can be confusing, but I think this is the only time I've saw where they kind of run parallel. Uzziah was one of the kings of Judah, and Jeroboam was one of the kings of Israel. In verse 23, in the 15th year of Uzziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria, and he reigned 41 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as most all the others did. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And you remember, it's made this reference many times. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, was the first king of the northern kingdoms of Israel. And when it refers that this one sinned, and he did just like him. Well, they must have really thought about that king to name this king the same name. He's Jeroboam the second. And he did just like the first Jeroboam did. He made Israel to sin. But here it said he restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain. Now watch this. According to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Hepher. For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter. And there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. And the Lord said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam and all that he did in his might, how he warred and how he recovered Damascus and Hamath, which belonged to Judah for Israel, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Israel? And Jeroboam slept with his father, even with the kings of Israel. And Zechariah his son reigned in his stead. So Lord willing, today we'll try to look at both these kings, King Uzziah and King Jeroboam. King Jeroboam, he reigned from 794 B.C. to 753. And he reigned over the nation of Israel. He ruled. The scripture says when the wicked reign, the people mourn. And these men were wicked. They were vile. And King Uzziah, he reigned from 792 to 740 B.C. But like I said, before we get to Jeroboam, let's look at King Uzziah here in these first two verses of 2 Kings 14, verse 21 and 22. Uzziah, the name means the helper of the Lord or the strength of the Lord. Well, I can understand Uzziah was 4 years old when his father died. And these people they called the protectors, they watched over the king till he was 16 years old. And when he was 16 is when he began to reign. And it says there he built Elath. That's the only thing mentioned in those verses. And then said after it said he built Elath, then he died. Why is that significant? Because there's several references to this Elath. And in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 26, if you want to turn back there, and King Solomon And if you'd read that whole chapter, 1 Kings 9, you'd see that's when Solomon was settled and his house was built and the temple was built. And he was bringing this gold into the Israel. Israel had no gold. Only the gold we know, the gold they had in the wilderness is what they got from the Egyptians. And how are they going to get gold? Well, he would have it brought in by seaport. And he had to go a pretty good way for a seaport if you'll look on the map at the mouth of the Dead Sea. And it said in 1 Kings 9:26, and King Solomon made a navy of ships in Edon-Geber, which is beside Elath, that city, on the above shore of the Red Sea in the land of Edom. Solomon, you don't even think much of him having navy ships. Now, his ships were probably maybe not so much for battle. They could have been, I don't know. But Solomon, his reign was a time of peace. So it's probably not, he's not sending ships out to fight battles. He's sending ships out to bring in supplies. He's sending ships out to go to certain places to bring gold in. And that one, this was the place that he raised up. But it was in the area where the Edomites reigned. The Edomites, remember, are the descendants of Esau. And in 2 Kings chapter 8, this is mentioned again. Under the reign of Joram, king. When the Edomites revolted against Joram, which was part of the curse that God brought upon that king because of his wickedness. In 2 Kings 8, verse 22, yet Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. And in 2 Kings chapter 14, he slew of the Edom in the valley of the salt 10,000, took Shelah by war, and called the name of the place Jokadel unto this day. So this was one of the first acts of Uzziah. Why did he restore that? Why did he do that? He must have had a reason for doing it. Some think that it could have been for commerce. He wanted to bring, you know, because if you had a seaport, it would increase the strength of the nation. And in 1 Kings chapter 22, listen to this. Jehoshaphat tried to do the same thing that Solomon did. Solomon was successful. Jehoshaphat wasn't. Jehoshaphat was a fairly good king. Now he sided one time with Ahab, which he shouldn't have done. And then I think his daughter or his son one married, or his son married the daughter of Ahab. But in 1 Kings 22, Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold. He says, I'll build me some ships, and I will sell those ships to get me some gold. That was his intentions. But they went not. For the ships were broken at Edon-Geber, which is the same as Elath. So this was his plan. What he planned to do and wanted to do, God stopped it. But Solomon did. Solomon did. And Uzziah could have had the same intention. I don't know. It's kind of ironic. That's the only thing that's mentioned here in those two verses. So if you only had those two verses, you would say, well, here's what he did, and then he died. But we're going to see what he did more in just a little bit. But this was one of the first acts he did. But Jehoshaphat, seeing that Solomon was successful, but he wasn't successful. Can you imagine what Jehoshaphat thought? You wonder the expense he went in to build those ships. Why? The whole intention was, we're going to get some gold. Now, Solomon needed a lot of gold when he built that temple. Remember, David got a lot of the material together. We don't know if that's maybe why Uzziah did what he did. We don't know, but he did rebuild that place, that place, that port where the ships would come in. But you remember there, and if you'll read, like I said, in 1 Kings 9, Solomon maybe used a lot of that gold for some wrong reasons too. Remember how the wives turned away his hearts from the Lord? Like I said, if you begin to read the first part of the chapter, all the temple's built and his house is built. So what does he need gold for? What do most people need gold for? He's married all these women. He's even married Pharaoh's daughter. And he builds her a house. Well, I don't think he's just going to build her some little shack. He's going to build her a house. And he has to get the gold somewhere. And even this, the Lord allows him to be successful in that. And we see what the outcome was. Those women turned his heart away from the Lord. And because of that is why we're reading this morning, why there's so much confusion, is because the kingdoms were divided between the northern and the southern kingdom. You have the 10 northern tribes and you have the two southern, Judah and Benjamin. We're going to see in a little bit, if we get that far, the Lord willing, the 10 northern tribes are taken into captivity into Syria and they never came back. Judah goes into captivity to Babylon for 70 years and God brings them back. Why? Because he will not let the light go out in Judah. Christ comes through Judah, but the kingdoms are divided. In this kingdom here, all they have is wicked kings. And over here in Judah, there was a few good kings. And Uzziah, for a while, he seemed to do some good things. But remember, it's not how a man begins, but it's how he ends. It's how he ends. So here in verses 23 through verse 29, we see, and we'll come back to Uzziah just in a few minutes, this king Jeroboam the second. Like I said, he may have been named after the first king of Israel. They admired him, even how wicked he was, they still named him. That's no different than Saul of Tarsus, who is of the tribe of Benjamin and the first king that Israel ever had before David, the king that the men chose, was of the tribe of Benjamin, and his first name was Saul. So I assume that because they kept up with their lineages in those days, they said, well, we're going to name our little boy Saul. Until God saved him, he turned out just exactly like King Saul. Most of the time in the scriptures, their name revealed something of their character and of their nature. What did Jeroboam do? Remember, there was two altars. There was one at Bethel and one at Dan, and you can find those on a map. One is the farthest north and one is the farthest point south. And they had these golden calves set up to worship, burned incense to them, bowed down to them. They acknowledged that they were their gods. And that's how they made Israel to sin. Why didn't they go to Jerusalem? Why didn't they go where the temple was at? Why didn't they go to worship? No, this was convenient. To most people, worship's convenient. And that's what they did. Don't go to Jerusalem. And the reason they did that, they were afraid if they went back to Jerusalem, that they would leave them and not come back. But this went on for years. Nobody didn't say, let's get rid of them. No, they said, we may get rid of the false prophets, but we're going to leave them two calves. And that's what this man did. And he made Israel to sin. Israel. Now, inside Israel, we know that there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And it's just like in the day in which we live, we have wicked rulers. They rule according to their own will, what they want to do, what God allows them to do, and then everybody else suffers, and they're made to sin. Made to sin. Matthew Henry said, we cannot measure men's character by the length of their lives or by their outward prosperity. That's how men usually judge them. He reigned 41 years. That's a long time. That's about the average of most of the kings. They usually reigned around 40 years. Some didn't reign that long. But you can't measure his character by that. What was his character? The Lord said he did that which is evil in God's sight. Now, in everybody else's sight, it may not have appeared evil, but in God's sight, God said it's evil. You imagine this. You've set up two golden calves as rivals to my son. That altar in Jerusalem is a picture of the mercy seat, a picture where we worship God. It's in Christ. And you want to set up something else? You want to set them up in place of my son and worship them? Yeah, God calls it evil. And that's exactly what it is. But men's minds are perverted. We call evil good and good evil. And this is the children of God. This is God's people that he brought out of Egypt and taught them. Said, don't you look to their gods. Don't you take up their gods. Here he's talked about it. He said he restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the Sea of the Plains. I think what this has reference to was on the other side of the Jordan River, where some of the heathens, I think it was the Assyrians, had came in and captured and took part of that land, and he restored it. Even this man? That sounds pretty good, him restoring what was taken. Yeah, it does sound good. Now you remember this. God uses whoever he wants. They serve his purpose. The Lord, he uses men that he calls and chooses and ordains. And he gives them faith to trust his son and their believers. He even used those who are not believers. He used this man and he served his purpose. And when he'd served his purpose, he was done with him. Same way today. You've heard me say this many times. No matter who they are, they're there by God's ordained, put them there. And when they served his purpose, he said, I'm done with them. But he used this man to restore these plains. But the most interesting thing that I thought was in these verses is verses 25 through 27. He restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the Sea of the Plain. And why did he do that? Why did he do that? Did he just take it upon himself to do that? Oh no, he had a word from God to do it. He was instructed to do that. Well, where did he hear? How is he going to hear from God? God's going to send him a prophet. Well, I thought Elisha was dead. Yes, we saw that just last week or the week before. Elisha's dead. But you remember they were schools of the prophets, where they taught men the word of God. They taught them about God and how to worship God. And they taught them how to teach others. So who's the prophet? According to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of the servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Hepher. Does anybody know someone else in the Bible that was named Jonah? Is there not a little book of Jonah? Same Jonah. I think that's interesting. Because in my mind, this is just how I act or how I read. I try to picture things. When it was in order, and it's like, you know, I showed you when I handed these out, that's the first time I noticed it, because it shows Jeroboam the second, and here's Uzziah. In all these prophets, we have Jonah, Amos, Hosea, Micah, and Isaiah, which I thought was interesting, that during this time in Israel's history, God is raising up these men. Because I think, well, what's going on in Israel? What's going on in the average life of a child of God? Are there any prophets? How are they worshiping God? How are they being taught? How are they being instructed? Well, God raises up a man named Jonah. And most believe, what I can understand from studying, Jonah went to Nineveh in an earlier part of his life. This is something that was later on. That's what they said. I don't know. Jonah lived, as I looked up in my Bible, the date was around 760. So somewhere in there. But the Lord used this man, Jonah. Now the Lord taught Jonah some things. If this has happened in the latter part of his life, he's taught that man some things. Go back and read the book of Jonah. He taught him. One thing he taught him was salvations of the Lord. But then here comes Jonah, and he tells this king, the Lord told you to restore that land. And he did. And the reason he could restore it, because if God commanded him to and directed him to, well, then he's going to do it. Because with the command of God comes the ability. And he commanded him. Because the prophet speaks of Christ. God delivered Israel because he was merciful to them. Mercy is not earned. If you deserved mercy, it wouldn't be mercy. If Israel deserved mercy, it would cease to be mercy. He was merciful to them. Merciful. The Lord saw the affliction of Israel. It said it was very bitter. And here, he helped them. If you will look for little things like that, when you read the scriptures, look for Christ, and there you see Christ. He's the one that sent the prophet, because they all speak of Christ. I'll show you that in just a minute. But then the Lord hears the affliction of his people. He shows them mercy, and he delivers them. That's how he always works. In every generation, he sees their affliction, what they're going through. And they were afflicted. So the Lord sent this prophet Jonah. You notice there where it says Jonah. Where was Jonah from? Gath-Hepher, which is the same word as Galilee. He was from the tribe of Zebulun, so he lived around Galilee. Isn't that ironic? You know, the Pharisees one day, you know what they said to our Lord? I think it's in John 7, but before the scripture that I'm going to read to you, John 7:52, they said something about, is there any prophets come out of Galilee? That must have been a place not many people wanted to live, you know. Probably a lot of poor people, whatever it was. You know, they probably talked a little different. Because they said to Peter one day, they said, your speech gives you away. You must have a Galilean accent. Remember? But here's what they said to our Lord. Then answered the Pharisees, did they answered unto him, and they said, Are you also of Galilee? Search and look. For out of Galilee arises no prophet. Boy, didn't they miss it. You can't be a prophet. You can't be the Messiah because no prophets come out of Galilee. Jonah did. Isn't that ironic? One little verse here, and we read about it in 2 Kings. I never saw it. Bless my heart. Even those, it's in the details. He just happens to be born from Galilee. Yeah, his own purpose. God raised him up. Is there any prophets from Galilee? Oh, yeah, because it's speaking of the prophet that will come. The prophet. Either those Pharisees did it willingly or they did it ignorantly. They sought to disallow our Lord by denying that he'd come out of Galilee. And the Lord helped Israel. And how he helped Israel, which spoke of the prophet, our Lord, that would come and deliver and save his people. So now, that was King Jeroboam. Now let's spend a few minutes with King Uzziah. So let's read there in chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Asa, or Uzziah, the son of Amasa, king of Judah, to reign. 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehochlin of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amasa had done, save that the high places which were not removed, the people sacrificed and burned incense still on the high places. And why didn't he take care of those things? I just don't know. And the Lord, now watch this. And the Lord smote the king so that he was a leper until the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house. And Jothan, the son of the king's son, was over the house, judging the people of the land. And the rest of the acts of Uzziah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Uzziah slept with his father, and they buried him with his father in the city of David. And Jothan, his son, reigned in his stead. They don't give a whole lot of history of Uzziah. So now turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We see a little more detail. this man Uzziah. Like I said, some of the other prophets that made reference to Uzziah, let me read you Hosea, that great book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the prophet, the son of Bera, in the day of Uzziah, Jotham, Asa, and Hezekiah, king of Judah. That prophet prophesied during four different kings' reigns. In the book of Amos, the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tokah, when he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Israel, and in the days of Jotham, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years, now listen to this, 2 years before the earthquake. What earthquake? We're going to see that in a minute also. So here in 2 Chronicles 26, let's begin reading. Then all the people of Judah, now someone might have to help me read, I don't know why this morning I'm having a hard time seeing with my left eye. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of their father, Amasa. And he built Eloth, as we just saw, and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother also was Jotham of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amasa did. And he sought the Lord in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding of the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. You need to see that. As long as he sought the Lord made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines, break down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabin, and wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelled in Gerbea and Mezuim. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and the same spread abroad, even to the entering of the end of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. The Lord is enabling him to prosper. He's conquering a lot of these men. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. And he built towers in the desert and digged many walls, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also and vine dressers in the mountain and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the manner of their account by the hand of Jael, the scribe, Mathiah, the ruler, under the hands of Maiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. Under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,000 and 500, and he made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings and cast stones, and he made in Jerusalem engines. Now, that don't mean the same engines like we believe know about. These are just things that they used to, you know, like you've saw in movies, the catapult things. So they called them engines. But this man, we find out more here than we did just in 2 Kings. And God helped them against the Philistines and against the Arabians and dwelt. I'm sorry. Now in verse 15, and he made in Jerusalem engines and invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. He seemed like he did a lot of things. God prospered him. But what happened there till he was strong? It doesn't say that the Lord made him strong till he was strong.
Oh, look what I'm able to do. Look what I've been able to accomplish. No one's got engines like I do. No one has these things like I do, but verse 16. But when he was strong, he that thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall. His heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God. And what did he do? Now watch what this man did. And he went into the temple of God to burn incense upon the altar of incense. He's not a priest. He's only a king. There's only one king priest, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He thinks he has the right to do this. And he went into the temple of the Lord and burned incense upon the altar of incense. Verse 17, and Uzziah the priest went unto him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. These 80 men go in to withstand him. You know what they said? You don't need to be in here. You have no right being in here. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appeareth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord. For the priest, the son of Aaron, they are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast transgressed, neither shall it be thine honor from the Lord God. And Uzziah was mad, he was wroth, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Several times in the scriptures when the Lord shows his displeasure about something, they smote him with leprosy. You remember Uzziah's servant. He smote him with leprosy. You remember Moses' sister, Miriam. She stood up against Moses and trying to question Moses, and the Lord smote her with leprosy. And here he smites this king with leprosy. And as I, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from hence. Yea, himself hastened also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And the king was a leper until the day of his death. And he dwelled in a several house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord. He can't go in there no more. He's unclean. And Jothan the son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amoz, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his father in the field of the burial, which belongeth to the king, for they said he is a leper. And Jothan his son reigned in his stead. As long as the king sought the Lord prospered him. He was made strong. But he took it upon himself. God never takes this lightly. Men do not have the right. You cannot just enter in. You're not your own mediator. You must have a priest. And he's saying, basically by his actions, I don't need him. I'm my own priest. This man would do that. He's done so much that seemed like he'd done so much good. But why would he do this? He got lifted up with pride. That's why. This, what happened to this man, had a profound effect upon Isaiah the prophet. As I've already read you from Hosea and Amos, here's what it says in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, the vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jothan, Asa, and Hezekiah, king of Judah. So Isaiah also prophesied under the reign of 4 different kings. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. I want you to show you this. This is probably one of the more familiar passages of Isaiah. And it makes reference to this king. Isaiah must have had his eyes upon this king, Uzziah. He must have been around him a lot. Someone said he may have been his biographer to keep up and write things down about him. Can you imagine what he wrote if he wrote in a, you know, in a ledger or something? Such and such a date, Uzziah, smitten with leprosy for disobeying the Lord. You imagine writing that. And now, Uzziah, Isaiah looked up to this man. So look in Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King who died? In the year that King Uzziah died. When he died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. When King Uzziah died, then he saw the Lord. A lot of people have a lot of King Uzziahs in their lives that they look to and worship and idolize. And he takes them out now. They're covered in leprosy. Someone said, now you listen to this. God destroyed the King Uzziah that Isaiah may see the king. Uzziah couldn't see it. I hope he saw it after the Lord smote him with leprosy that he shouldn't be in there. And Isaiah sees it. Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. The Lord's reduced this great man whose fame had spread so wide he had brought him to nothing. And Isaiah's or Uzziah's accomplishments amounted to nothing. And Isaiah sees it. Isaiah said in back in chapter 2, verse 22, cease ye for man whose breath is in his nostrils? For wherein is he to be accounted of? How, you imagine Isaiah thinks, how can such a mighty king fall and be brought to nothing? How can you be brought to nothing? Same way. Pride. Pride goes before a fall. He that thinks he standeth, take heed lest he fall. This man, look at all that he did. Look at all that he did, and he prospered. Oh, I'll take it upon myself to go into the temple. Oh, no. Isaiah, if Uzziah had kept his eyes on the king and not of himself, he may have continued to prosper. And Isaiah said his train filled the temple. This train, someone said, pictured his priestly robe of our Lord's. And these six winged creatures proclaimed his glory. Holy, holy, holy is him. Is him. Let me read on in Isaiah 6. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. And between he covered his face. And between he covered his feet. And between he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And you imagine when Isaiah sees this, then he says, and then you will say it the same way. You won't go, woe is everybody else. Isaiah did that for five chapters. Now you know what he says, woe is me. When you see the king, you're not wanting to strut in and think you have the right to enter in on your own merits. You say, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Holiness and the glory is why Uzziah, this is why Uzziah is smitten. He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. For one who has been made strong to use that strength to blaspheme the name of God, who's the one true king priest. And when the Lord spoke, the whole temple shook. You notice there, and some said that when, I think it was in Amos when it said 2 years before the earthquake, some believe that's what he was talking about. He shook the whole place. God shook it. God shook it. And it makes reference again in the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, verse 5. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach into Azel. Yea, and you shall flee like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord thy God shall come and all his saints with him. When God speaks, he shakes the place. I guarantee you this. When old King Uzziah was standing there and those 80 men said, you need to get out of here. You don't have any right in here. And you may do a lot of things. And you may do what the Lord sent you here to do, but he never sent you to do this. You need to leave. And while he's standing there, God smote that man with leprosy. I guarantee you everybody else that got wind of this, well, they would have been disturbed and concerned, and rightfully so. And here we see, but God took this man off. He took him out of the way so you could see him. We need to see the king. And when you see the king, we will be just exactly like Isaiah. We will say, woe is me. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Peter said, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. What's amazing is during all this, what's encouraging to me, God raised up prophets. And as we go through these kings, we maybe come back to some of these in Isaiah. When he prophesied to these kings as they were leaving, when we get to Hezekiah and those men, how God raised them up and how he brought enemies against them just to deliver them. That's how God works. When he leaves us alone, we become just like Israel. We turn our backs on him, and then he allows the enemy to come, and we're afflicted. Do you know what we do? Then we cry out to the Lord. That's just being honest. But he teaches us. And when he speaks, now you can just hear me speak, and it ain't going to do much. But I can tell you this, when God speaks, it will turn your world upside down. It'll be like all of a sudden you're walking on the earth and God sends an earthquake. And you go, what's going on? I have nothing to stand on. I have no foundation. The smoke that filled the temple could refer to the anger of God as revealed in his actions against Uzziah. Or the smoke that filled the holy place on the Day of the Atonement, it blinded the eyes of all but one, and that was the one who sat upon the throne. Uzziah started out well, but he ended up as a leper. That's sad, and to me that's sobering. Amen.